Tape script 21.
Her name was Mrs. Pratchett. She was a small, skinny old hag with a moustache on her upper lip and a mouth as sour as a green gooseberry. She never smiled. Her apron was grey and greasy. Her blouse had bits of breakfast all over it, toast crumbs and tea stains, and splotches of dried egg yolk. It was her hands, however, that disturbed us most. They were disgusting. They were black with dirt and grime. And do not forget that it was these hands and fingers that she would plunge into the sweet jars when we asked for a pennyworth of treacle toffee, or wine gums, or nut clusters, or whatever. There were precious few health laws in those days, and nobody, least of all Mrs. Pratchett, ever thought of using a little shovel for getting sweets out, as they do today. The other thing we hated Mrs. Pratchett for was her meanness. Unless you spent a whole sixpence all in one go, she wouldn't give you a bag. Instead, you got your sweets twisted up in a small piece of newspaper, which she tore off a pile of old Daily Mirrors lying on the counter. So you can well understand that we had it in for Mrs. Pratchett in a big way, but we didn't quite know what to do about it. Many schemes were put forward, but none of them was any good. None of them, that is, until suddenly, one memorable afternoon, we found the dead mouse. My four friends and I had come across a loose floorboard at the back of the classroom, and when we prized it up with the blade of a pocket knife, we discovered a big hollow space underneath. This, we decided, would be our secret hiding place for sweets and other small treasures, such as conkers and monkey nuts and birds' eggs. Every afternoon, when the last lesson was over, the five of us would wait until the classroom had emptied. Then we would lift up the floorboard and examine our secret hoard, perhaps adding to it or taking something away. One day, when we lifted it up, we found a dead mouse lying among our treasures. It was an exciting discovery. Thwaites took it out by its tail and waved it in front of our faces. "What shall we do with it?" he cried. "It stinks!" someone shouted. "Throw it out of the window!" "Hold on a tick," I said. "Don't throw it away." Thwaites hesitated. They all looked at me. When writing about oneself, one must strive to be truthful. Truth is more important than modesty. I must tell you, therefore, that it was I and I alone who had the idea for the great and daring mouse plot. We all have our moments of brilliance and glory, and this was mine. "Why don't we," I said, "slip it into one of Mrs. Pratchett's jars of sweets? Then when she puts her dirty hand in to grab a handful, she'll grab a stinky dead mouse instead." The other four stared at me in wonder. Then, as the sheer genius of the plot began to sink in, they all started grinning. They slapped me on the back. They cheered me and danced around the classroom. "We'll do it today," they cried. "We'll do it on the way home." "You had the idea," they said to me, "so you can be the one to put the mouse in the jar." Thwaites handed me the mouse. I put it into my trouser pocket. Then the five of us left the school, crossed the village green, and headed for the sweet shop. We were tremendously jazzed up. We felt like a gang of desperados setting out to rob a train or blow up the sheriff's office. We were the victors now, and Mrs. Pratchett was the victim. She stood behind the counter, and her small malignant pig eyes watched us suspiciously as we came forward. "One sherbet sucker, please," Thwaites said to her, holding out his penny. I kept to the rear of the group, and when I saw Mrs. Pratchett turn her head away for a couple of seconds to fish a sherbet sucker out of the box, I lifted the heavy glass lid of the gobstopper jar and dropped the mouse in. Then I replaced the lid as silently as possible. My heart was thumping like mad, and my hands had gone all sweaty. As soon as we were outside, we broke into a run. "Did you do it?" they shouted at me. "Of course I did," I said. "Well done, you," they cried. "What a super show." I felt like a hero. I was a hero. It was marvellous to be so popular. The flush of triumph over the dead mouse was carried forward to the next morning, as we met again to walk to school. "Let's go in and see if it's still in the jar," somebody said as we approached the sweet shop. "Don't," Thwaite said firmly. "It's too dangerous. Walk past as though nothing has happened." As we came level with the shop, we saw a cardboard notice hanging on the door. "Closed." We stopped and stared. We had never known the sweet shop to be closed at this time in the morning, even on Sundays. "What's happened?" we asked each other. "What's going on?" We pressed our faces against the window and looked inside. Mrs. Pratchett was nowhere to be seen. "Look," I cried. "The gobstopper jar's gone. It's not on the shelf. There's a gap where it used to be." "It's on the floor," someone said. "It's smashed to bits, and there's gobstoppers everywhere." "There's the mouse," someone else shouted. We could see it all. The huge glass jar smashed to smithereens, with a dead mouse lying in the wreckage, and hundreds of many-coloured gobstoppers littering the floor. "She got such a shock when she grabbed hold of the mouse that she dropped everything," somebody was saying. "But why didn't she sweep it all up and open the shop?" I asked. Nobody answered me. After a while, Thwaites broke the silence. "She must have got one heck of a shock," he said. He paused. We all looked at him, wondering what wisdom the great medical authority was going to come out with next. "Well now," Thwaites went on, "when an old person like Mrs. Pratchett suddenly gets a very big shock, I suppose you know what happens next?" "What?" we said. "What happens?" "You ask my father," Thwaites said. "He'll tell you." "You tell us," we said. "It gives her a heart attack," Thwaites announced. "Her heart stops beating, and she's dead in 5 seconds." For a moment or two, my own heart stopped beating. Thwaites pointed a finger at me and said darkly, "I'm afraid you've killed her." "Me?" I cried. "Why just me?" "It was your idea," he said, "and what's more, you put the mouse in." All of a sudden, I was a murderer. At exactly that point, we heard the school bell ringing in the distance, and we had to gallop the rest of the way so as not to be late for prayers. The headmaster is the only teacher at Llandaff Cathedral School that I can remember, and for a reason you will soon discover, I can remember him very clearly indeed. His name was Mr. Coombs. Mr. Coombs now proceeded to mumble through the same old prayers we had every day, but this morning, when the last Amen had been spoken, he did not turn and lead his group rapidly out of the hall as usual. He remained standing before us, and it was clear he had an announcement to make. "The whole school is to go out and line up around the playground immediately," he said. "Leave your books behind, and no talking." Mr. Coombs was looking grim. His hammy pink face had taken on that dangerous scowl, which only appeared when he was extremely cross, and somebody was for the high jump. I sat there, small and frightened, among the rows and rows of other boys, and to me at that moment, the headmaster, with his black gown draped over his shoulders, was like a judge at a murder trial. "He's after the killer," Thwaites whispered to me. I began to shiver. As we made our way out into the playground, my whole stomach began to feel as though it was slowly filling up with swirling water. "I am only 8 years old," I told myself. "No little boy of eight has ever murdered anyone. It's not possible." I half expected to see two policemen come bounding out of the school to grab me by the arms and put handcuffs on my wrists. A single door led out from the school onto the playground. Suddenly it swung open, and through it, like the angel of death, strode Mr. Coombs, huge and bulky in his tweed suit and black gown. And beside him, believe it or not, right beside him, trotted the tiny figure of Mrs. Pratchett herself. Mrs. Pratchett was alive. The relief was tremendous. Suddenly, she let out a high-pitched yell and pointed a dirty finger straight at Thwaites. "That's him!" she yelled. "That's one of them! I'd know him a mile away, the scummy little bounder!" The entire school turned to look at Thwaites. "What have I done?" he stuttered. appealing to Mr. Coombs. "Shut up," Mr. Coombs said. Mrs. Pratchett's eyes flicked over and settled on my own face. I looked down and studied the black asphalt surface of the playground.
"Here's another of 'em,"
I heard her yelling.
"That one there."
She pointed at me now. "You're quite sure," Mr. Coombs said.
"Of course I'm sure," she cried. "I never forget a face, least of all when it's as sly as that. He's one of 'em, all right. There was five altogether. Now where's them other three?"
The other three, I knew very well, were coming up next.
"There they are,"
she cried out, stabbing the air with her finger.
"Him, and him, and him. That's the five of 'em, all right. We don't need to look no farther than this, headmaster. They're all here, the nasty little pigs. You've got their names, have you?"
"I've got their names, Mrs. Pratchett," Mr. Coombs told her. "I'm very much obliged to you."